Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's your girl Claudia Jordan, and we're back with TGIF. Happy Friday. Now we're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. So sit back, relax, and get ready to sip on this hot tea. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's going on, Claudia? It's Friday. It's Friday.
It is. It is. Great singing ability there. Okay. All right. And please welcome Armand Wiggins. What's up, Armand?
What's going on? Yes. I don't know if I can beat you in the It's Friday dance, but I'm happy that it is Friday.
Y'all look like two canaries.
Yes.
You know what? Ready to sing.
We about to sing a whole bunch of stuff on this show. That's right. That's right. That's right. We are giving Easter, right? Spring.
It's like real spring, very vibrant. It should be like a really vibrant show today. Like, you know, we're going to have a good time.
Lots of love and lots of laughs. We got to get that laughter. And it's Friday, and that's what the people are here for. All right, are you guys ready for the weekend? Y'all ready for the weekend?
I think so. What's the weather supposed to be like here in L.A., Armand?
Child, I do not know, but I do have plans, though. I'm going to a house party this weekend, so it's going to be fun either way.
Okay. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. I hosted today earlier the Great Shakeup. It's like a black bartender competition and day party. So that was super nice. And then tomorrow I'm flying to Philadelphia. My niece Camille, who I've definitely spoken about her before, she's a super duper track star. Mm-hmm. Ivy League school she goes to. Mm-hmm. She's competing in the Penn Relays. So I'm super looking forward to that. Al, where are you going to be this weekend?
I'm actually in Los Angeles, but gosh, I totally forgot about the Penn Relays. Congratulations. What's her name again?
Camille Jordan, Team Jordan.
Camille Jordan, congratulations, because back in the day, the Penn League Relays was that was the place to be. If you as an athlete made it to the Penn Relays, you were the best of the best of the best. Congratulations, Camille.
It still is, and I cannot wait to cheer her on. And me, we're going to be rowdy, our little section. The Jordan section, we're going to be loud for my niece. We're going to turn up. All right, speaking of turning up, anybody drinking tonight? Al, you drinking that buttery Chardonnay?
Of course I'm drinking, of course. Buttery Chardonnay slipped into a hot tea. Believe it or not, it's really good.
Okay, Armand, drinking water. We're still cleansing. What are we doing?
We're still cleansing right now. We're still cleansing right now.
But Armand, I want you to know this is a safe place for you to drink.
Yes. Okay. Maybe next week we'll drink all week.
Hey, let's do it.
You know what?
I think I'm going to. Next week is going to be Armand's drunk week.
I'm going to join. Okay. You know what, Armand, in a show of solidarity with you, because you know we don't really know each other like that. And we're gonna do a reboot of this. I'm gonna join you in drinking in solidarity with you, okay?
Yes. Now you better do it, because if I come with my drinks and you not got no drinks, I'm gonna be mad.
I'm gonna drink. Okay. Let's get into these topics. During a recent interview with Robin Roberts, WNBA star Brittany Griner opened up about her experience being imprisoned in a Russian penal colony. Griner mentioned the inhumane living conditions and said, "The mattress had a huge blood stain on it. I had no soap, no toilet paper. That was the moment where I just felt less than human." Can you imagine this? What are your thoughts on Brittany's interview? And can you imagine experiencing such trauma for 300 days? Al, let's go to you first on this.
I'm going to tell you right now, Claudia, I was engulfed. When I say engulfed, I was engulfed with emotions when I watched that clip with Robin Roberts on so many levels. Like, I was just engulfed in thinking about the mental and emotional torture that she has survived. I was just like, wow. And all out of this little clip. And you know what also I was engulfed with? I was also engulfed with so many emotions surrounding, thank goodness she didn't take her life, because now she's welcoming a life into her life. I just thought after I just thought it was just really great. I thought it was really insightful. You know, we know Brittany Griner is a super private, and for her to share, for Robin Roberts to offer an environment for her to do that, just it's making me. I will be watching that special. I will not miss that special, because to me, Brittany Griner and all that she's been through is a real life example of a true survivor.
All right, Armand, what are your thoughts on this story?
Yeah, I agree. 300 days, almost a year. I don't know if I would have made it out with my mental capacity. You know what I'm saying? And blood on the mattresses and the sheets, and you know, like, that's not healthy. That couldn't be healthy. But the thing is, what's interesting is, like, when you go to these different countries, you can't call anybody. No one can really fight for you. They don't even seem to really care. So, you know, for her to make it out of something like that is really powerful. Now, the silver lining here for me would be, you know, at least she's able to live to tell that story to her child. You know, during that moment, you're probably like, this is devastating. I never want to experience this again. But, you know, as you get older, you're like, dude, I did 300 days in jail and it was disgusting overseas, and it adds character, if you ask me. And she's able to tell that story as she gets older, so you know, you can take that with you.
That's right. And you know what, not knowing what is like gonna be the outcome, you know, like when you're going mm-hmm. through something, you just feel like, oh my god, this is so terrible, and then you don't really see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then to finally get there, she's got to feel so relieved. And then looking back, when she has a time chance to like process that, imagine going from a life of kind of luxury to having to sleep on a mattress with blood stains on it and not knowing when you're gonna go home. So 300 days, I'm sure she has picked up so much wisdom and so much just appreciation for her life. So I'm so glad mm-hmm. she got there. All right, Neo's baby mom, Sade, is calling him out for allegedly having drugs and prostitutes around their kids. Take a look.
Does he want over the house while his kids is here, while he likes to have drugs and weed, alcohol, mushrooms, and prostitutes in the house while his kids are here? Everyone has asked him to stop, but he will not listen to nobody.
All right, now Sade also alleged that Neo body slammed her. What are your thoughts on these allegations, Armand? Let's go to you first.
I don't like when women do this. I don't like when, you know, ex-partners, current partners get online and try to defame you on social media, especially you are the mother of his kids. Like, I just felt like I didn't really hear the body slam part, but I heard a lot of vitriol to the fact, you know, because he has other women around him, because he likes to party. And it just seems like she's a little bit jealous. And, you know, people in the comments were saying, well, girl, what did you expect when, you know, you took him from his wife and had a baby on him? So people are not feeling bad for her. And so for me, I just think this is very nasty that, you know, she went online and exposed him and videoed him like this for her Instagram Live. Felt very clout chasing. And I want to commend Neo for keeping his cool, because she didn't make him look bad. She made herself look bad, if you ask me.
Al, do you agree with that? Or what do you think?
You know, I have to say I didn't like it. I definitely agree with that. Now, is this, correct me, the two of you, this is the baby mama he had a child with while he was with Crystal, right? And that's why Crystal left. Is that right, Claudia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the part that I want to lean on. It's interesting because we, the public, we knew what time it was with Neo and these kids. Crystal obviously told us when she was having her issues with Neo. Don't forget, Manetta was very verbal and transparent when they disconnected. Neo himself has expressed his disconnection to all his past women and why there was a disconnect and why they had issues. So my first question is, young lady, what were you expecting? Why were you expecting any different with him? You went into the relationship with real life examples of knowing what you were getting. Now, number two, we're not going to let Neo off the hook, you know, because Neo having children everywhere and not spending time with them is absolutely unacceptable. And being a father takes more than just paying your child support. It's spending time with your kids. So for me, both of them are in the wrong in this. And I definitely agree with the mom when I say that she didn't make him look bad. She made herself look bad. And I don't like when women result to this type of exposing someone. Because in my opinion, between Manetta, Crystal, and Neo himself, he told you what was up. You're not telling us any new information, is how I interpret it.
Well, if she was body slammed and if she's being mistreated, she has every right to tell her story. We may not like the way she did it, but she has every right to tell a story. Now, I will agree with, I am a definite believer in karma. And people be out here in these streets thinking they're getting away with so much shady stuff. And they think, oh, well, it's different with me. You know, oh, no, he had that with her. But with me, it's different. It ain't different with you. It is not. You are not an exception. You are another rung on the ladder. OK. And that's what people that's the bigger picture lesson. Like I'm taking out of this, like people thinking, and it's not just a woman man thing. It's humans thinking it's different with me. And and also Crystal too. Crystal was there when he was with Moneta allegedly, and then this new girl Sade was around when he was with Crystal. A tiger don't change his stripes or spots from a leopard or whatever, however you want to say it. And I'm just gonna say, like, you know, it's a little bit of karma. You can't be out here doing good people dirty and thinking that you are gonna get away with it forever, because although that person may not catch it, the Lord catches it and karma catches it. And you will get
Let me ask y'all this. Do you think it's fair that the women, when they do these type of acts, they try to throw the kids in it? Because to me, it feels as though it's more personal. It's about your relationship. It's not about the kids. Do you guys agree or what do you guys think?
I don't know. Go ahead, Al.
I think it's a combination. Look, the guy was just walking down South Beach on Ocean Drive with two women on his arm. She probably had the kids at the house feeding them, changing diapers, listening to them cry and all that stuff. And she was like, how dare this Negro be gallivanting around the country, walking down the boulevard with two women, and I'm taking care of these kids all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a combination.
Is anyone else tripping that it's Neo acting like this? Because, like, Neo seem like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he seems so safe.
I agree with you on that.
He seems so, like, goody-two-shoes safe. And then to hear that there's, remember Spider-Man had the black suit Spider-Man, the bad Spider-Man, evil Spider-Man? I'm like, Neo, when you take your hat off and we see your head without your hat, is this evil Neo that just, like, don't give a damn? Because, it's hard to separate the
who knew, right?
Yes. Okay. All right. Switching gears. It's been announced that President Joe Biden will be the commencement speaker at Morehouse College, but the students, alumni, and faculty members are not in support of it due to his handling of the Israel-Hamas war. Al, let's go to you first. What are your thoughts?
Listen, I really enjoyed the president's speech, and you know I teach at a HBCU, and I think people have to understand how important this type of engagement helps HBCUs. It helps HBCUs with funding, raising money, endowments, and also research opportunities. And that's what makes HBCUs as competitive or even more competitive than PWIs. So the fact to have the president of the United States at a HBCU putting millions of people, not just in the United States, but around the world, putting Morehouse College on the map is super beneficial to us at HBCUs, providing quality education. So that part I loved. My issue here is, come on, Biden team, come on, Kamala, don't wait till it's election year to do these types of things. You need to be doing these types of things throughout your administration so that we can't have a reason to look at you side-eye, because we know you need the black vote in order to take back the House again. We also know that you need the young people's vote, because that's who you're trying to galvanize in this act. So all I'm saying is thank you for the opportunity to come speak on HBCU, but do better. Do it not just during campaign season, but throughout your administration.
Armand, what do you think?
All right, now, Al, I'm glad you ended with that, because I was waiting to see what you was going to say. But now I'll say this. I agree with you as far as the eyes. We do need that. And it is a great look for the president to be speaking at the HBCUs. But to me, this is no different than Trump going to Chipotle full of black people and speaking. It's election season. Of course you're going to go to the HBCU. You want the black vote. You want the younger demographic. And Biden is losing that right now. So this is only because of election season. This is not because he's trying to put eyes and money in the pockets of the HBCUs. This is strictly for votes, if you ask me.
I'm going to let Claudia handle this one. Because, baby, she is ready. She's ready. I'm going to sit back and observe.
I'm going to say this. Usually there is a lot of pandering that goes on to the Black community right before the election. 1,000%. You guys are both right. That does happen. But I will say with the Biden administration, this is not new for him. Biden has put the most Black female judges in power, in position of any administration. He has put a Black vice president in his administration. He has done a lot of stuff. He's put the most money to Black, to HBCUs than any president, including Obama. I have to say that. So this isn't something that he just started doing. And as far as student loan forgiveness, people could say, oh, that is something he's trying to do for election year. That is not true, because he had been trying to do that since the very first year of his administration, but it was the Republicans in Congress that shut it down. So this is, to me, is not a pandering. I don't think so. He was the vice president to a Black president, and then he put a Black woman as his vice president. So I don't think his interest in the Black community is fake. Can he do better? 1,000%. Is he a good speaker? No, he's not. He's not. Can he do better with the handling of this war? 1,000%. I think that he's going to have a lot of trouble with the way he's been handling the war, and also being okay with signing this TikTok ban that is actually happening. I think that's going to lose a lot of support from young people. I think he has a big problem on his hands when it comes to this. And it's going to take more than making a few speeches at HBCUs to get people back in pocket. We're going to have to see some real stuff. So yeah. Okay, coming up next, we are breaking down Al's outrage and later find out how an Indiana teacher abused his student. It's like every single week we have one of these stories, right? Yeah. Keep it here. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Welcome back to TGIF. Soulmates, our very own brand strategist, Al Reynolds, is passionate about covering stories that are placed in the archives of media. And that's why tonight, Mr. Reynolds will be giving us his unfiltered opinion in Where's the Outrage? Tonight's outrage is devoted to the new bill that was passed by the Tennessee legislature, which will allow teachers and school staffers to carry concealed handguns in schools. Al, take it away.
And take it away, I would do, Claudia. Outrage, yes, I ask, where is the outrage? Where is the outrage for the citizens of not only Tennessee, but for the citizens of the United States of America? So let me make this understood. So we would rather have guns being carried by teachers instead of banning guns altogether. We would rather have guns instead of creating stricter gun laws. We would rather have guns instead of parents discipline their kids the way they're supposed to be doing. We would rather have guns than teaching conflict resolution in the schoolhouse. Let me share some statistics with you. Research has found that having guns harms students' trust in educators because they view them as police instead of as teachers. Also, having guns undermines any type of positive school climate, creating a lot of stress for individuals because teachers are walking around with guns. Also, having guns make it difficult for educators to create safe and supportive environments for students because they never know what's going to happen when conflict occurs. Now, let's move away from research and let's talk about real life. So having guns, what about negligent discharges? That happens 20% of the time with gun carriers. So is the 20% not going to make it into our schoolhouses? What about accidental exposure? Something police officers have had problems with for the last 100 years. And what about weapons being overtaken? If you can take them out of a police officer's hand, what makes you think you couldn't possibly get it out of the hands of a teacher? Now let's even talk about the teachers. 54% of the teachers in the state of Tennessee believe it will make schools less safe. If we're not listening to the teachers who are telling you that they don't want the guns, why would you give them the gun anyway? And lastly, this is my opinion and only mine, but it seems to make a lot of sense to me. Schools are places for books and backpacks, not weapons. Instead, we need proven solutions that are backed by data and real life interaction. An intervention should be one of those instead of violence rebuttal. Until then, for me, security officers, not teachers, should be carrying firearms, and that armed police maybe need to take a route down and around the schoolhouse. This is outrageous that any parent would vote to allow guns in the school with their kids. To me, do better, state of Tennessee. To me, do better, America.
All right. To your point, Al, the teachers, the parents are not voting for the guns. That's the problem. That's why people were protesting and saying, we do not want this for our schools. They are protesting out there. But the state of Tennessee, the legislator there, has been really not giving a damn what the will of the people is. They're just doing what they want to do. I find it amazing in this time, right? In these times here on TGIF, right? I'm adding to your outrage. We do a story about a teacher having an inappropriate relationship with a kid almost every week, right? So we're going to trust these same teachers that are having sexual relations that don't have good judgment to have guns in schools, but we will bend over backwards and twist ourselves into pretzels to not put a ban or put the smackdown on guns in schools, period. Uvalde, Texas. Okay. I want to give this example before we move on. Uvalde, Texas. Here, I live in Texas. There was a school shooting. A student brought a gun to school, right? The police officers who are heavily armed and trained for this kind of stuff sat outside for like 60 minutes. They let it happen. They hear the screams. Kids' faces were getting blown off. Not to be graphic, but I want y'all to know the how big the severity of the situation was. If trained police officers were scared to go in and confront these kids and deal with them, what is some teacher going to do that just learned how to do to deal with a gun a couple weeks ago? Mm-hmm. It is a disaster waiting to happen. And I'm just as outraged as you are, Al. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Armand, you think it's a good idea or not?
I don't trust it because I feel like this is another way to accidentally kill black and brown kids. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like it can be very dangerous. It can turn very colorist and very racial, you know, in the guise of an accident or a conflict or a slip up or, you know, the two black kids were fighting. I felt threatened. I accidentally shot them, you know, and I just feel like it can get very racial there and it can get uglier than it already is. So no, that's not a good idea.
And I just wanted to add, when I said parents voting for it, I meant the legislators are parents. The legislators who cast their votes are parents to students. And how can they, as parents to students, vote for this? That was what I was trying to relay.
We got you, Al. All right, great conversation. Let's get back to some topics, and I'm sure we will have other things to be outraged about coming soon. All right, during the Preachers of LA 10-year reunion, Bishop Ron Gibson, in so many words, revealed that he would not give up his first-class seat for his wife. Bishop Gibson was presented with the scenario surrounding what he would do if he walked on a jet with only one first-class seat available, which means the other person would have to go to coach. He replied, "Yeah, she don't mind, coach. I do. I can't sit up there like sardines." What are your thoughts on his response? And what would you do if you were in this situation? Al, I'm going to go to you on this one.
You know what? It reminds me of something that I would do. You just have a slip in the moment and it sounds completely crazy. I listened to the whole thing and he kind of cleared it up. He basically was saying that he's claustrophobic and that he can't travel amongst crowds where they're very, very closely knit together. So I got that. Now, would I allow my wife or even someone I'm dating to take the coach instead of first class? And y'all know I'm a first class trick. I wouldn't. I would definitely make sure that whoever's traveling with me is taken care of first, for sure. But in this particular case, not defending what he said, because it just came out all wrong, especially when they started questioning him. But he did clear it up and said that it's because he's claustrophobic.
Oh, aren't we all claustrophobic when it comes to
Right.
coach versus first
Yeah.
class? Oh, I can't bear to go back there with the underclass, as Al says, to be amongst the people. I can't deal with someone touching me. Oh. Okay, Armand, you get up your seat for your loved one or nah?
Get to the back. No, I'm just kidding. No, but honestly, so this is how you do it, right? Especially if she's okay with it. I'm gonna be honest with you. That was a little harsh. I was a little uncomfortable with that. I probably would offer up the seat because that's what you're supposed to do. Now, it would have to be like my wife or my partner. I would offer up the seat. But if my wife or partner really knew me like they know they did, and they didn't have a problem with coach, they would know that I was claustrophobic and I was offering it up just to be,
right.
you know, the man in the relationship. And they would tell me, no, baby, I don't have a problem sitting in the coach. You go ahead and take the first class seat. I'm going to go to coach. But you let them give you the seat back. You don't just take the seat from her. You offer it up as the man, as the head. And if she knows you like she should, she's then supposed to say, no, it's okay. I insist you take it because I know that you are claustrophobic and I'll take the coach seat. That's
right.
How it should work.
If she loves you and she's your wife and she knows you, she was going to not allow that to happen unless she's extremely selfish. She'll say, you know what, boo, I know you do have a real issue. Now, if you don't, she's going to be up there with that wine. You're going to be up there crackers.
Yes.
Them little raggedy biscotti crackers back there. All right, coming up next, an Indiana teacher created the unthinkable in his classroom. And later, we are playing a fun game of Emoji Me This. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all, I've made no secret about it. I've had issues with weight and trying to keep that weight off, especially when you get to a certain age. It gets harder to keep those pounds off and not have a double chin. So let me hook you up with some more tips. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Row Body program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% off your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Now, over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. Row Body program members have support throughout the process. Row's partner handles all of the insurance paperwork to help get medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. Now, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no pesky waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria do apply. Now go to row.co/T. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 each month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/T. That's ro.co/T. Al, I know we are of a certain age and that weight be trying to pack itself back on there. What are your thoughts on Robotic?
Hey, I think it's a brilliant idea. And in fact, I'm going to run over to that Robotic. Is it Robody? And try to figure this out because I have a stubborn like 15 that I need off before the summer. I know I'm not going to get the 15, but I know through the guidance of Robody, I'll definitely be on the journey to take care of this extra weight. So I'm here for it. Can't wait to try it.
Hey, when you get older, it's like, hey, by any means necessary. And thank God for companies like this. Promotional consideration furnished by Robody. All right, let's get back to the show. An Indiana teacher is under fire after creating a fight club inside of his classroom that included his students attacking a seven-year-old with disabilities. What do y'all think about this? A fight club, a bunch of seven-year-olds, but the kid that got beat up was, you know, someone that had some disabilities. Al, what do you think about this?
I think this is horrible. I think that he needs to be terminated. And I also think the school should be investigated for even allowing this type of club with a, you know, disabled student in the classroom. This is negligent supervision across the board, and I don't like it.
How does this happen, though? You
right.
know, like, how does this happen? Like, do other students, other teachers know about it and they not speak up about it? Do you have an obligation? You have an obligation, Al, right, as a teacher, because you're a professor. So
yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine that any activity that you have in your classroom, especially if it's a club, it has to be approved. I don't know if it was the principal, it slipped through. I'm really not understanding. I don't know all the details around this, but just the fact that you have a this type of club around a disabled student automatically throws a red flag up in my head, and it would never be approved in my opinion.
Awful. Armand, what do you think about this?
Yeah, it's a mess. And I just think that, you know, there people are saying that it's kind of started because it was for his own amusement, you know, and they were saying that disabled kids are demonic and need to be baptized. So it sounds like a sick teacher. And from what I was reading, they were saying that, you know, the parents were actually filing a lawsuit. And because he tried to show the parents the environment of the classroom, he accidentally showed the video of the fight happening to the boy. Like, showed a video of them beating up the kid. So to me, I feel like you end up telling on yourself, and it just goes to show whatever happens in the dark comes to the light. So this probably had been going on for a long time, and you accidentally slipped up and shelled it. You know what I mean? And it's really, really sick and twisted that, you know, people with disabilities get picked on like that, and they should be feeling safe in schools. They're weak. You know, they're not like regular people. So I don't think that we should bully people with disabilities that actually aren't problematic. Now, if you're disabled and problematic, then you can get to work.
Armand.
No, I'm just saying in general, because a lot of times, never mind, let's not go off kilter.
You already know
what I'm saying.
They say the student was held down by the teacher while he was getting beat up. So he wasn't just putting this together. He was actively
in on it.
Armand, what city was this in Indiana?
I don't have that information.
Okay. I think it was Indianapolis. But all right. Keep It Loppy is coming up next. Reggie Bush gets the victory. And later we'll be playing a fun game of Emoji Me This. Stay tuned.
Isn't it the game?
Welcome back to the show. Reggie Bush is finally getting his 2010 Heisman Trophy back. The decision was announced earlier this week, which makes it 14 years after the USC football star gave up his Heisman Trophy due to the major sanctions levied against his alma mater. Are you guys excited? Al, do you remember this story when he got it?
Oh, man. You know, this is one of the hottest stories in athletics at that time. You know, he only played there from 2003 to 2005. He was like the LeBron James at that time of football, like LeBron is of the NBA now. He was just unstoppable. I'm really excited that the NCAA has made this happen, because as it relates to his lawsuit, he now needs to be paid for lost income because of the stripping of this particular award. I can't wait to see how this plays out in court. I'm so glad that he's finally getting the flowers that he deserved, and I can't wait to see how they're going to compensate him for this wrongdoing.
All right, Armand, what do you think?
Absolutely, I'm excited for him. I think that he had to fight for it, though, so it wasn't just given back to him. So he had to go through a lot, and he definitely needs to be compensated for that. And I just think when you go through a situation where people are trying to say things have been given to you or you've been paid to play, and it wasn't true, I think, you know, you sacrificed a lot. And so I think at this point, you know, for him to get this back, it's a good moment, but it should have never happened. So, you know, shout out to him for that, but it should have never happened in the first place.
You know, there's a lot of athletes that have these things done, and then later on, it's like, oh, our bad.
Yeah.
I'm not as marketable as I could have been. I have this scandal looming over my head for decades.
Right.
Ben Crump was his attorney for this case. Ben Crump been out here quietly, not quietly, he's been getting it done. We're going to have Ben Crump on the show. I will reach out one of these days. Ben, if you're watching, we want you on the show. All right, let's get back to some more topics. A while back, Amber Rose posed the following question. If 50 men can call one woman a hoe, you'll believe it. But if 50 women call one man a rapist, you find it questionable. What are your thoughts on her post? Alice, go to you first.
Not one lie told. It's not one lie told. We talk about this all the time. And Claudia, you've been very clear about it. You know, men get away with things that women necessarily don't get away with. And it's sad because it's ingrained in our culture. It's ingrained in our minds that, you know, abusing or taking advantage of women is more acceptable than being accountable for that abuse. I find it alarming. But I can't say that there was anything that she said or shared that didn't make sense to me.
Okay, Armand, what do you think?
I slightly disagree with her, because I feel like, here's the thing. If it's 50 regular men, you call a woman hoe, we're going to believe it. If it's 50 regular men that say, you know, a woman says, rape me, then you know what? We might not believe it. But I mean, if it's 50 celebrity men, we're believing it these days. Let's just be honest. If there are celebrities, a woman come out and say, this man did something to me, we are believing it. So I think that we have to stop this narrative. Like, men just don't believe women, or we don't believe women when it comes to, you know, women speaking out against men raping them. I think that we are now graduated to a point where we are all believing the victim first, especially with, you know, the movement of Me Too. We believe women more now. So I think that we have to stop pushing this narrative that we don't believe women. Now, there is a thing as clout chasing. A lot of these women or people are opportunists. So sometimes you don't know who to believe. And I think she was really talking about celebrities and men in power. Sometimes you don't know who to believe all the time because a lot of people are looking for their latest come up. We just had Roseanne Barr just come out troll and say that Joe Biden raped her. Like, should we have jumped on that and believed that? Like, we don't know. So I think it depends on the status of the man, to be honest. And in this case, she was talking about high powered men. And I feel like it's 50-50. But for the most part, we do believe the women when it comes to, you know, women saying that a high powered man raped them. I agree.
I don't know. Like, look how many
allegedly.
Look how long it took for people to get off the R. Kelly train. There's still people that will protest and be outside and put money on his books and be like, no, but those girls were fast and just bend themselves up into like I say, pretzels to not want to, if someone's their favorite. Like, I, you know, there's been a lot of celebrities that have been accused and convicted of crimes, but there's people that refuse to believe it because they can't separate the art from the person. I know this whole thing though, especially, and I'm gonna maybe put it in the terms that maybe can hit home a little bit more as well. I feel like there's certain things that people say about people that no, people don't need proof and they will run with the rumor. Calling a man gay and yes, calling a woman a hoe. Nobody needs any proof, documentation, evidence. People want to run with these stories for some reason, right? Y'all say, I know she a hoe. No one needs any proof. Just like putting that gay thing on a man. I feel like people just run with that because it's salacious. It's easy to believe. But when we like the person, and someone says, oh, you know, they're an abuser. Well, did he really? I mean, was the girl a clout chaser? I mean, what was she wearing? I feel like, I do feel like she has a little bit of a point though.
But she created the slut walk. So you got to also understand the messenger. Like Amber Rose, you know, she wasn't just, you know, a nun. I mean, when you think of like ho, I mean, you would think Amber Rose, Black China, you think those type of women.
Yeah, but you can't rape her.
No, no one said you.
It doesn't
no one,
justify hey, raping her. She can
no
be
one
naked.
Said no one said you can rape her. No one said you can rape her. What I'm saying is like, you can believe that she could be a hoe. Because that's how she came out. Raping her is something different. Where I'm not, if she came out and said that she was raped, I mean, I would believe her because I do believe that. But I'm not saying, huh?
No, sorry. I'm going to cut you off.
No, I'm just saying like at the end of the day, you got to look at the woman saying that you can't be called a hoe. Like, I mean, you came out and your whole brand was being a hoe.
I think the point she's making is like, we're quicker to believe the negative stuff about women than we are to believe bad stuff about men that we like, you know? And I think, and that's not even just a man thing. There's a lot of pick me women too, that are quick to like discount a woman's experience until it happens to them. Right. And I just feel like it's gotta be a little bit more sympathetic about people. All right. Get into the story. A Georgia man has been sentenced to 30 years in prison after whooping his kids for not cleaning their room. Dylan Tennant repeatedly whooped his 2 and 3-year-old kids to the point of leaving bruises on them. All right, what are your thoughts? And at what age do your parents discipline you? And I want to know the extent of this because 30 years. Armand, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I should send a text to my mama and see, hey, the statute of limitations ain't up, girl. You better count your days or I need my coins. Listen, Black people don't care about this kind of stuff. We got whooped. I mean, I got whooped until I couldn't get hit no more. Let me tell you something. My dad today, if I tried him, he'd whoop me. Okay? So I don't think the age ever stops. You just kind of grow out of it. But for me, I think this is a bit excessive. But I do need to know the extent of it. Was it like a whooping or was it a beating? Or you know what I mean? Like, but at the same time, child, I got beaten too slightly because I deserved them. So I don't know. I'm here for spanking, but I'm not here for like child abuse, if you will.
30 years, though, right?
Isn't that what we got? Yeah, 30 years is crazy.
And it said bruises. I'm thinking of, did he break bones? Al, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like Armand on this. I'm probably going to need a little bit more details. And in a new age now, there's such a thin line between discipline and child abuse. If you know, if and I'm hoping in this case, because it was 30 years, he did something that was extreme and that was unnecessary. And if that's the case, not only does he deserve 30 years, I think he deserves to be underneath the jail, especially if the kids are only 2 and 3 years old.
It must have been bad for them to put a white man in prison for this.
Yeah, for 30 years.
We usually don't really see this kind of stuff. They can pretty much do anything, and we'd be like, well, he had trauma when he was younger. His parents got divorced. He didn't get a pony. He was 16. All right. We have an update on the white teen in Missouri who received a concussion after her head was slammed to the concrete during a fight at school. 15-year-old Kaylee Gain is now conscious after being listed as critical, but according to reports, she walks with assistance and the slightest fall could be dangerous. Now, the family of the suspect, who is Black, is calling for authorities to not charge her as an adult because she is an honor roll student who was harassed and bullied. What are your thoughts on this update, Al?
Oh, I'm on the fence on this. I think I learned from reading that not only was the young lady who was hospitalized was not supposed to be on school grounds, but she had also was involved in a fight the day prior. Now, does that give anyone the license to still take that young lady and bang her head against the concrete to the point where she's in a coma? Absolutely not. But I think there should be some type of leniency for the young lady who was allegedly defending herself against her. And they should be, you know, that should be taken into consideration. In addition, I think the schoolhouse needs to take some responsibility because that young lady was not supposed to be on campus because she was suspended, the one that was hospitalized. And what type of responsibility is the schoolhouse taking for allowing her to come on campus and to participate in a fight?
All right, Armand, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. It gets touchy because if you start messing with me and I retaliate, you can't tell me how to fight back, you know? And so it's unfortunate that this has happened to this girl, but you know, this girl, from what I'm hearing, she was the aggressor in the beginning and she just got beat up. And so at this point, you know, it's unfortunate, but I bet you she won't try it with nobody else.
So for the people that are trying to follow the story, white girl started smoke with the Black girl. Black girl got with her, put them hands on her, them paws on her, put her into a coma. But the white girl wasn't supposed to even be on campus because she was suspended, wasn't supposed to be in the first place. But because she's a small white girl and then it's an aggressive Black girl, it's looking like she's the aggressor. She needs to go to jail. She put this girl in a coma. But she did not start the fight. She just was the better fighter. Now, Kaylee's GoFundMe has raised over $48,000. All right. Coming up, we are playing the Black sitcom edition of Emoji Me This. And you know, we struggle with this game. So y'all are in for some laughs. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the show. I made a mistake. I said the GoFundMe had raised $40,000, but no. I was off by a zero. It's over $400,000.
That's a big zero.
Let me tell you about these two scammers on the show while we was in the break. They was both trying to think about how we can get a GoFundMe going. And I ain't gonna lie, I was kind of with them for a second. So just gonna say we was kind of thinking about that. All right, let's move on. Back by popular demand, we are gonna play a fun game of Emoji Me This, the Black sitcom edition.
Buckle up.
All right, the rules are simple. We're going to guess popular Black sitcoms based on emoji clues. Let's cue the music. First up, we have a prince, a Black family, a mansion, and a palm tree. Can you guess the sitcom?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I believe you're right. That's right.
Hey!
Next, we have two sisters, a mom, and a dad. Can you guess the show?
Sister, sister.
I think so.
Yeah.
You're right.
Ah! Sister,
Okay.
sister!
Okay, somebody was raised by television. All right. I'm sorry, Amon. Now, this is an oldie but goodie. We have the number two, a red dress, two Black women, a man, a Black girl, and the number seven, a door, and a number two. Can you guess the show?
Oh.
227?
I think
No,
so. I
let's
think
see.
that's.
a red dress, two kids.
I think it's 227.
No,
it's not.
I don't know this one, Joe.
Door.
Reveal. 227.
227.
Okay.
Okay, fun fact. When I first moved to LA, you remember the old lady that played the grandma? The real old lady? Her and I smoked some really...
Ooh.
You know what? I don't know what I could say here.
You can't say it.
Okay. Okay. Hey, lady. Okay, we had a good time. All right, how about this one? We have a globe, books, a pencil, a male and female emoji, and a ruler. Take a guess.
Different world.
Oh, a different world.
I think so. I think you're right. A different world.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We're doing way better this time. Next up, we have a doctor, a female lawyer, three girls, one boy, and a mansion.
The Cosby Show.
It's really like a brownstone, huh? Yeah, I think that's right.
We did good.
Last but not least, we have four women, a house, a palm tree, a heart, and a dress.
I was going to say Golden Girls, but they're not black.
Yeah, girlfriends, maybe?
Girlfriends? That's what I was thinking. Girlfriends?
Yeah, maybe so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The girlfriends? Girlfriends! Yes.
I wanted some Living Single on the board. That was my favorite show.
That was a good show. All right, that was a lot of fun. Actually, we redeemed ourselves from all the times we sucked at that game.
For real.
All right, let's dive into the next topic. Amanda Seales, homegirl, she is trending. The interview is trending after she addressed, after the actress revealed that she doesn't feel like Issa Rae empowers Black women. Amanda stated, "She didn't feel like I deserved to be protected." Al, I am curious about your thoughts on this. What do you think about this?
I have mixed emotions about this. There's a part of Amanda Seales that definitely resonates to me. I think Amanda Seales is really smart and very aware, you know, super hypersensitive aware. And I think that could be off-putting to a lot of people. And I can relate to that. And I also feel like maybe this conversation wasn't best with Shannon Sharp because he really didn't know how to handle the discussion, in my opinion. But I would have definitely had a few different questions for her. But listen, at the end of the day, Amanda Seales is very self-aware and understands what she's going through when she's going through. And she made it very clear that this is how she felt. Now, a lot of people have also argued that she's a very difficult person to work with. But I can say that, you know, when you're very smart and self-aware and you don't take bull crap and you know when stuff is what it is, people give you that label all the time, and especially if you are a Black woman.
Okay, so I want to know. I think Shannon Sharp totally dropped the ball on some of these questions with her. I feel like he was not intellectually on her level to even handle some of the stuff that she was saying. What would you ask Amanda Seales if we could have her on TGIF? Is there something you think you could ask her that would make her like open up? Any questions you have for Amanda Seales after seeing this interview? Yeah.
One of the questions that I would ask Amanda Seales is how do you juggle as a smart Black woman, how people perceive you versus how you really are? Because unfortunately, in public opinion and perception, she's fighting against, at least in her head, something totally different. She's saying that she's not what people have perceived her as. She's not what people interpret her as being. So for me, I would like to talk to her about where is the disconnect? When did the disconnect happen? And why has the disconnect been following her for so long? Because if anyone looks at this woman's IMBD, this woman has done it all at the highest levels, but has not been able to do it long periods of time as far as one job for a long period of time.
You know, if she's been having this problem all her life, she probably doesn't know what the disconnect is. You know what I'm saying? I think that she doesn't know what it is. Because when it's you, you're like, what am I doing wrong? Like, what? I definitely can relate to that. Mom, what do you think about this interview? And did you see parts of it?
Yes, I've seen a clip of this. And I think I agree with all of you guys as far as like Amanda Seales being talented and all of this and being very smart. I'm not a follower of her, so I'm gonna be honest with you there. But I think the problem is, to answer the question, I feel like I can answer the question for her. It's the fact that from a person that doesn't study or follow her, it's like the only time I see her is when she's always complaining. So even though there could be some truth to it, you've got to kind of understand when and where and how to complain, because it's starting to come across like Amanda Seales is now famous for complaining. Like, she's always got a problem with something. You know, it's Essence or the NAACP. Now it's Issa Rae. It's the white kids from school. It's Disney. Like, are you ever happy? Is there ever a positive moment? Or is your whole career based upon injustice that's been done to you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to push back on that.
That's the problem.
I think I have to push back on that. Unfortunately, in entertainment, especially for Black women, when a narrative is created around you, it's very hard to shake. If you follow her, that woman speaks so positive into Black spaces and underrepresentation and racism and prejudice and women rights. She does speak positive. But because she has this stain as this troublemaker, this loud, this problem, it's following her and she can't shake it. So everything she says, they're not looking for the positive to showcase to the public. They're looking for the negative. And anybody who's ever been in that position knows how hard it is to stay true to yourself, but also try to change the narrative that has been painted on you. And unfortunately, that ugly narrative is something that she simply can't ignore. I mean, can't escape right now.
But let me to your point. Well, I'd agree. But we're talking about longevity and career and, you know, keeping it going. You to the people that may not know you, because everybody doesn't know her. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. can't keep seeing you in this light, because then people are not going to work with you. At some point, you got to pick and choose your battles. Like now mm-hmm. coming after Issa Rae, like Issa Rae's a darling. Like, girl, that probably wasn't a battle that you needed coming off the heels of, you know, crapping on the NAACP. It just seems to be like everybody's out to get Amanda Seales. Even if that's not the case, that's mm-hmm. how it feels. And most people are going to be like, let me stay away from her, because one mishap, she's going to be over here talking about how she wasn't protected. And people are not going to want to deal with you. That's how it is.
I think with Amanda Seales, and I follow her, and I've actually worked with her before on her tour. She revealed something in the interview I thought was really interesting. She revealed that she's on the spectrum. They used to call it Asperger's, but they don't. They use a different name mm-hmm. because she's actually revealed that he was a Nazi, so we don't use that word anymore. I think that she sometimes has issues with social cues, and that is something that she just can't help. And, you know, I think that she has all the good intent. I really, really do. And I think when you have this condition, and I'm no expert on it, so I don't want to speak like I am one. I'm just giving my opinion. I think sometimes she may rub people the wrong way because of this condition. And it's almost like she's... I won't say too good for her own, too smart for her own good, because I think you can never be too smart. I think sometimes she may rub people the wrong way with her intent and with her passion. But I do think she does have she does love the Black community. I do. I really, really do. But I do think going head to head, bringing up this Issa Rae thing on Shannon Sharpe's show, where he wasn't really, he's not the person to have that conversation with. He was like, what you mean by that? You know what I mean? He's just giving country and kind of... I think she's going to go on Gail and do a redo on that interview. But I know we'll be talking more about this. Amanda, keep your head up. I know it feels hard when you feel like you're fighting the good fight for your people and your people aren't recognizing you for that. But I do think you have good intentions. I do think your condition is probably hurting you sometimes. I want to thank my co-hosts, Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins, who tried to steal my look tonight. We did not get into that, but we'll get into it another time if he does it again. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Stay tuned for Street Flavor. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and we have some fun things to talk about on Monday, okay? Yeah. So go ahead and turn up on this weekend, all right?
Have a great weekend, guys.
Have a good weekend with Soulmates.